The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. To the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, I'm calling today Wednesday. What about you, Albin? Today's Wednesday.
Today,
in a couple of minutes, we have Jenna Ellis. It's going to get crazy up in here, people. Jenna Ellis is coming on the program. She's going to reveal secrets and things. It's going to blow your mind. In hour two, we're going to take it down a notch. We're going to get really mellow with David Horowitz. Holy cow, it's going to be insane. But before we bring in Jenna Ellis, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to announce our grand prize winners. Oh, we've talked about picking five grand prize winners. It's easy to talk, but now we're doing it. We're picking the five grand prize winners. So many of you were generous with the Food for the Poor campaign. We said we're going to randomly pick five winners that happen to be relatives and friends of mine. And honestly, I don't know how that happened. But here it is. Albin, are you ready?
Yes, sir. I'm ready, sir.
Please, go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Okay, for the five grand prize winners, here we go. Linda Bluett of Grangeville, Idaho.
Yes.
Of Grangeville, Idaho?
Yes.
She's not related to me, and I've never heard her name. So this is a legitimate choice, and I apologize to my relatives and friends who were hoping that they would win the grand prizes. So Linda Bluett, okay. Linda, congratulations. Who else do we have?
Yeah, she's related to me, though, so it's okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, no. Lisa Lockwood from Wayzata, Minnesota.
Did you say Lisa Lockwood?
Yeah, Lisa Lockwood.
Mommy? No, actually, she's not related to me either. Lisa Lockwood, congratulations, Lisa. This is terrific. Keep going.
Okay, she's related to my twin brother.
Okay.
Jason Denham, D-E-N-H-A-M, of Burlington, Washington. Wow.
Jason Denham of Burlington. Is Jason Denham related to the Benham brothers? Or I guess it wouldn't be because it's Denham. But it does rhyme. And so I'm just wondering, because I'm friends with the Benham brothers. Yeah. Anyway, so Jason Denham.
Yeah.
Well, come on down, Jason. Man, they're going to get a box of goodies. Like, it's going to be mind-blowing. Okay,
well,
what else?
If the Benhams were wearing jeans, I guess Denham. Okay, Judy Norton from Harrison, Arkansas.
Harrison, Arkansas?
Yeah. And
I don't know. No, Judy. All right, Judy, another legitimate winner. Just want to be clear. There's no nepotism here. Go ahead.
And then Nydia, N-Y-D-I-A, DeCaroli from East Norwich, New York. So we have five different states, five different people.
Holy cow. So these are the five winners. Now, folks, you're going to get signed copies of my books, of Albin's books. I'm signing some Faulkner books. We'll throw them in there. I just want to get rid of them because I hate Faulkner. We're gonna sign stuff. You're gonna get all kinds of swag. You're gonna be very surprised. You're gonna be embarrassed because you're gonna have such an embarrassment of riches. You're gonna feel guilty, and that's on you. We're not responsible. Right. We just want to bless you. So those are the winners. We'll announce them again, and you'll get emails from us. But now we're going to talk about.
Oh, one more.
Other
one more,
things.
One more thing. You will not get Hunter Biden's new book. In there, by the way, he reveals that the big guy is actually me.
You're the big guy. You get 10% of the Burisma kickback.
Yeah, that's me. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible. Okay. All right. We're going to talk to our friend Jenna Ellis. Is she here? Jenna, are you here? Are you there? Where are you?
I am. And Eric, I'm just so sad that I didn't get to win a prize, but I knew that that's only because you and I are such good friends. It would be.
That's correct. That's correct. So I have a special list of friends who cannot be the winners. So no matter how much money you gave, you can't win. Yeah,
But you were related to one or two of those people, so they count. So
yeah, maybe they'll. Yeah,
and I'm wearing denim. I'm wearing jeans.
You're wearing denim. See, that's very important. All right. So look, Jenna, it's kind of weird. I was on your show last night. Let's start there. Tell people about your show, if you don't mind.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm the host of the brand new show on Real America's Voice called Just the Truth. And this is such an exciting venture for me because as much as we love to talk about politics, I had such a great time on the campaign and advocating for President Trump and all of those things. We always have to bring back everything that we talk about to the fundamentals and to truth. And of course, we know that truth is the Christian worldview, and truth is the recognition of self-evident truth that God, our Creator, presented us to, and the reality to which we're presented. And so, everything that we talk about in politics, and philosophy, and economics, and any sort of policy, it has to come back to the foundation of understanding who we are, why we're here, the purpose of man, and that we are human beings made in the image of God and have inherent dignity and worth. And so we always talk about truth. And so my show is called Just the Truth. It's on America's Voice News. It airs live in the 6 p.m. Eastern hour, but you can always go back and rewatch it. I also, Eric, have a podcast on Just the News. It's also titled Just the Truth. So definitely go and check out the podcast. Rather than having a lot of guests on the podcast, that you just get my insight and analysis on news of the day topics and things that I want to share with you about constitutional law, about the Christian worldview. And it's a really exciting time for me.
So I shouldn't be offended if I'm not invited to be on the podcast because you don't really have a lot of guests on there.
You can come on the podcast anytime you want, though, Eric.
Okay. All right. So I can come on the podcast, but I was on the show last night. Now, if people want to find this network, how do they find the network?
Yeah, so we're all digital. A lot of young people, you know, myself, my generation and younger, don't really have cable anymore. And so we are all digital. We're on Pluto TV. We're on Dish Network. We're on Roku, Apple TV, Fire TV. Also, americasvoice.news. You can go there to the website and then see all of the different channels. You can also download the free app and watch any of our shows on your smartphone. So
say it again. It's America's Voice what?
americasvoice.news.
.news. So you mean that anybody who can get on the internet can watch the program?
Yes. So we actually have people who write into the show from all over the world. It's really amazing.
americasvoice.news. I hope people will check it out. There are so many great shows at americasvoice.news. And it's just, it's a new thing. It's fascinating to me. I knew that the internet and TV would eventually converge. And I kept thinking, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? It's basically happened. So people don't know, you know, am I watching TV? Am I looking at the internet or what? It really it's a new day. So americasvoice.news, people can watch your program, which is called Just the Truth. And of course, I was your guest last night and Pastor Daryl Scott was on. So I hope people will check that out. Again, folks, go to americasvoice.news. Just the Truth is the program we did last night and the program you do every day. So what should we talk about, Jenna? We've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, well, the thing that I'm going to be talking about on my podcast later as well, but I definitely want to talk about with you, Eric, is if you saw the Arkansas governor, Asa Hutchinson, who vetoed this bill that was going to protect children from chemical castration and transgender hormones. And
okay, let's clarify. I tweeted about this last night. Asa Hutchinson is a Republican. So we know that Kristi Noem is a Republican. We have these governors that when push comes to shove, they buckle. Asa Hutchinson, I cannot believe that this Republican governor decided to cave to the most radical liberal transgender activists. So just so people understand who he is, tell us more about this.
Right. And so, you know, this isn't something that we might expect from a Gavin Newsom or a Gretchen Whitmer or an Andrew Cuomo. I mean, this is someone who is supposedly a conservative and holds himself out to be a conservative because he's part of the Republican Party. And this is Arkansas. You know, this isn't even a purple type of state. And so this bill passed overwhelmingly in the Arkansas legislature. It went to Hutchinson's desk for signature. And his defense yesterday, saying that why he vetoed this protection for children, is he tried to invoke a principle of conservatism of limited government. And he actually said to Tucker Carlson, you can go, I retweeted this interview, it's all over the internet. for about 10 minutes, he's sitting there with Tucker Carlson saying, well, I'm a conservative and the principle of limited government means that we should leave these types of decisions between parents and doctors and the government should
be involved. Yeah. Okay. Now, hold on. We're going to go to a break. Folks, we've got the rest of the hour with Jenna Ellis. We have to unpack this. This is actually very important. Don't go away. Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out.
Love is a burning thing.
Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm playing the role of Eric Metaxas. I hope that's not too confusing for you. My guest is Jenna Ellis. Jenna, we're talking about, I always forget, you know, you are a constitutional scholar, correct?
I am indeed.
Okay, not a lot of people can say that. For example, I can't say that you're a constitutional scholar. Actually, no, I can say that. I can say you're a constitutional scholar, but I can't say that I am. You were talking just a moment ago, and I want to unpack this because we want people to understand how these principles work. We who are conservatives believe in limited government, and there are principles that go along with limited government. But Asa Hutchinson, the Republican governor of Arkansas, vetoed a bill because he said that parents should have the right to make decisions, these transgender decisions for their kids. The problem is it's kind of like saying we should be able to make a decision. Do I want to buy a slave or not? There are certain things that go directly against our Constitution that are fundamental. And so really, we shouldn't have the right. We shouldn't have the right to kill our children if we're children. Isn't this that kind of a thing where he's talking about limited government, but it goes beyond that?
Well, the principle of limited government is not in conflict with the principle of legitimate government, because if we look at the Constitution and what our founders recognized as the legitimate role of government in society is recognizing that as human beings made in the image of God, we all have unalienable rights. That does include parental rights, which is to direct the health, safety, and welfare of our children. But that particular right is never absolute. We never have absolute rights to then go and perpetuate harm against another human being, particularly children. And so the role of legitimate government is always to protect liberty and justice for all. And justice requires that we do outlaw or prohibit or criminalize certain conduct that is by definition wrong, morally evil. And in our society today, Eric, we want to completely ignore the fact that there is a measurable difference between right and wrong and good and evil, because this is this whole kind of standpoint epistemology type of view that says it's my truth versus your truth. And where Asa Hutchinson is making a really grave mistake here is that he is assuming that the principle of limited government means that government cannot intervene in parental decision-making or healthcare decision-making when there is a very obvious moral harm at stake. This is the same principle why we can outlaw abortion. And Asa Hutchinson is pro-life. And so he's conflating this idea just because he's trying to say that conservatism means a limited government when it actually means a legitimate government to promote good and restrain evil.
Okay, now let's talk specifically. The issue is young, very young kids, any kid really, the idea that they would say, I am, I think I'm transgender, I'm a, I look like a young man, I look like a boy, but I wanna be a girl. And so I wanna go to a doctor and I wanna take medicine that is going to prevent me from developing into a young man. I don't want that. I want to be a woman. And there are parents that are bamboozled and they don't know what to think. My kid wants this. You know, he's really strong-willed. He's 14. I don't want to stand in his way. So we're going to go to a doctor and we're going to do irrevocable harm to this child because the government, thanks to Asa Hutchinson, says, not a problem. If you want to do that, go ahead. And what you and I would say is no minor should be allowed to have this kind of surgery. It's like saying elective amputation. I want my leg to be sawed off. I'm 13 years old. Mom and dad, can I do that? And they go, well, there's no law against it. I guess we don't want to stand in your way, son. Go have your leg cut off. I mean, this is basically what we're talking about. This is so fundamental, but because it's a transgender issue, Asa Hutchinson was afraid of the transgender lobby, and so he backed down.
Yeah, and the woke crowd. I mean, and what's so ridiculous about his line of argument is that we as a society don't allow minors to do a lot of things that are dangerous to their health or would have irreparable harm. So for example, I mean, even for adults, meaning people who are over the age of 18, there are still ethical considerations. Like a lot of doctors that I know won't perform certain surgeries for women, like hysterectomies or, you know, other elective types of surgeries in certain cases where women want to have their tubes tied, for example. If they want to go and be promiscuous and say, well, I don't want the consequences of being pregnant, but they're still in their early 20s, a lot of doctors ethically will say, I'm not going to get involved in that because that is irrevocable harm where they could have a different decision later. And so especially when we're talking about minors, I mean, we don't allow minors to do a lot of things in this society because we know that as minors, they don't have the cognitive skills yet to be able to, and also they don't have, they haven't reached the age of majority where they can make some of those life altering decisions for themselves. And you might say, well, if the parents sign off on it, okay. Well, we never say again in our society that parental rights are completely absolute. And so this is something where the fundamental question that Asa Hutchinson is presuming is that it is okay, and there's not a question of moral evil, to give minors chemical castration or these types of hormones that will fundamentally alter them permanently and their physical chemical makeup. He's answering that question. He's actually refusing to answer it by saying, well, I'm just going to trust the doctors. I'm going to trust the parents. I'm not going to get involved, and neither should the state. He refuses to stand up for the moral question because he doesn't want the woke crowd to come after him. And that is not using the power of government legitimately or responsibly, because we as a government always have to make sure that we are promoting good and we are restraining evil by what laws we enact to make sure that what we prohibit and what we allow in this society aligns with truth.
Listen, the reason so many people love Donald Trump is he didn't play this game. And I really think that, you know, even if you hate Trump, if we do not elect people who have courage, moral courage, we're going to get people like Asa Hutchinson or Kristi Noem made a horrible decision recently. they have to understand the reason you are elected, one reason is when this stuff comes to you, we want to see backbone. If you don't exhibit backbone, out. We're going to find somebody who has backbone. This is an issue. Again, there are going to be 30-year-olds who are going to sue their parents and sue the state. If we allow them foolishly, when we have a responsibility to say, no, 13-year-old, no, 10-year-old, you can't do that. If we let them do these horrible, irrevocable things to their bodies, they are going to be furious. When they're older, they're going to sue. They say, why were you not as my parents, as the government? Why did you let me do this? That's the issue that's at stake. I'm not so shocked. I'm deeply disappointed in Asa Hutchinson, but this needs to be a lesson for every governor, every rhino across America. Your days are numbered. If you play this game and you don't stand up for what is right, we're going to throw you out of office. I think Asa Hutchinson, he's in big trouble.
Absolutely. And I think, Eric, you're absolutely right to say that we as conservatives need to elect people with backbone. And I think it goes even beyond that. It's not even just about backbone. It's about making sure that people like a governor who claims to be a conservative actually understands and has thought through and analyzed conservatism. Clearly, he has no idea what genuine conservatism means. And that's the problem with the Republican Party today. They're all about freedom and liberty, but they don't actually understand those concepts in alignment with truth. Freedom doesn't mean, oh, we let everyone go out and just choose whatever they want for themselves. And that's the danger. I mean, he's older. He's an older man. He's older than me. He's probably, older than Eric too. I don't know.
Is he older than me? Yes. No, he's certainly older than me. And he's been in government for a long time. Let's face it.
And he should know better. But we also have people who are rising stars of the Republican Party who are in Gen Z, people like Madison Cawthorn, who will go on interviews and will say, well, I'm an economic conservative, but the social issues don't matter. He said that multiple times in interviews. And those types of philosophies are very dangerous to the foundation of the Republican Party, why we're conservatives and what it is we're conserving and what true liberty and justice for all means in the context of the founding of this nation. Then we don't have a Republican Party anymore. We just have soft Democrats.
This is it's extraordinarily important stuff. And it's great to have you on here, Jenna, to kind of break this down so that people understand stake. In other words, I am all for parental rights. Like, I'm way out on the extreme in terms of I don't believe the government should be able to say much of anything. Parents should be able to do anything with their kids. Those are your kids. Up to a point when you start saying, we're going to let you go to a doctor and we're going to let you be castrated or whatever it is because you don't want to be a boy, 30 years down the line, that young man may say, how did you let me do this? What is wrong with you, mom and dad? What is wrong with you, government, that you let a child do something this horrifying? We have a job as parents, as voters, to understand this kind of stuff. Asa Hutchinson, I'm assuming he's going to get thrown out of office for this. This is a big thing for a governor to do. We're going to be right back talking to Jenna Ellis. Don't go away. Hey folks, you certainly heard me talk about MyPillow and how their products have literally changed my life. Now, have you tried the pillow? They don't go flat. You can wash them, dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. They're made in the USA, and for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for the lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for $29.98. It's originally $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code ERIC. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Folks, you know I use these products, and they're fantastic. Call 800-978-3057 and use promo code ERIC. Or call 800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC. Folks, we're talking to our friend Jenna Ellis, AmericasVoiceNews.com. You can go there today. America's Voice News. I'm sorry. America's Voice dot news. America's Voice dot news. The show is Just the Truth. Jenna, let's talk about election integrity. You were on President Trump's legal team in the midst of this absolute chaos. You've been through a lot. You don't get into the Dominion stuff and whatever. You were dealing with kind of on the ground, state by state, voter fraud issues. What is your view? Did the Democrats get away with stealing this election?
Yeah, they did. And our the legal team, the Trump legal team, not all of the other people who were involved and had other kinds of theories and represented other entities in themselves. There are a lot of different people. It is a leftist talking point to say that we lost 60 plus cases. The Trump team did not even file that many. And let's be clear, we didn't lose any on the merits. All of them were kicked out by the court saying you don't have what's called standing, meaning you don't have the ability as the candidate for office to bring this case in court, which is ridiculous. If Donald Trump, as the candidate for president, who through the Democrats cheating, does not have standing to challenge that, then who does? How can we challenge free and fair?
Okay, so I want to be crystal clear. So Sidney Powell, Lynn Wood, Mike Lindell, they were working on other stuff. But you and Rudy Giuliani and Victoria Tenzing, you were part of Trump's actual team. And when people say that Trump lost 60 cases, so I've heard this over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah. They've even made memes about it.
They what?
They've even made memes about it.
They make memes about everything.
To, you know, post on Twitter, oh, you've lost 60 cases. I'm like, you're hilarious. You have no idea what you're saying.
Okay, so let's break it down. You were involved in filing cases. They never looked at the evidence. Why did these judges, let's take the best case scenario, I mean, your strongest case, why did judges refuse to look at the evidence and just say, we're not going to get involved? Was it just a lack of moral courage? They were afraid to get involved?
I think so. I mean, it was very apparent that the judicial branch completely let down the American people, because it was a very easy out for them to say you don't have standing. Just like the Supreme Court said to the state of Texas, when the attorney general in Texas and 17 other states joined in a lawsuit against Pennsylvania. And this is a case that under Article 3 of the United States Constitution, when a state sues another state, should have what's called original jurisdiction in the Supreme Court, meaning that is the trial court level. That is the initial filing. You don't have to go through all the layers of filing at the district court, then the appellate court, then all the way up to the Supreme Court. You file directly in the Supreme Court. And for the Supreme Court to say, you know, we're just not even going to look at this case, we're not going to take it up, that goes against their duty and their obligation under the U.S. Constitution. And Justice Thomas said this very precisely in one of his dissents just a few weeks ago in one of the election integrity cases, where he's saying, why are we leaving election law under the shroud of mystery rather than laying down specific principles to make sure that free and fair elections are protected? Basically, he's saying, what are we so afraid of in looking at this? And if the court had actually viewed the evidence that we have on the merits to say that the election officials, the executive branches of the states, they violated the law. They ignored the rules. They broke all of the rules in the administration of their elections. This was death by a thousand cuts. And the secretaries of states of these states, the election officials who weren't following the law, the U.S. Constitution requires that state legislatures, when they're selecting the delegates to the Electoral College, which is how we actually get our president, they establish the manner in which the electoral delegates are chosen. And when they establish the method of the law in that state, election officials have to abide by it. Otherwise, they're breaking the rules. And that's what happened in at least six states. And so for the judicial branch not to look at the evidence, not to look at the merits and just say, well, you can't bring this case, what are they so afraid of? And I'll tell you what they were afraid of. They were afraid of riots of the Democrats, just absolute chaos in this country. But what they failed to recognize is that if we don't preserve and protect free and fair elections in this country, then we are no longer a free and fair society.
And I mean, hearing you say this is, it's all the more horrifying because I know where you're coming from. I want to say this again. According to you, Joe Biden did not win the election.
Yes.
And somehow he's in the White House today. In other words, you're a constitutional scholar. I've known you for a while. You're not crazy. You don't say stuff for effect. You were part of the president's legal team. Pardon me?
I don't say things that I don't have evidence for and that I can't back up. So I mean, your things.
But I mean, this is why I have been so vocal on this, because people that I know like you genuinely believe this is what happened. We allowed it to happen. I want to go to specifics. We've just got less than a minute, but we have Amy Coney Barrett. We have Kavanaugh. They declined to look at the evidence. How is it possible that that happened? Do you think that they were sort of bullied or browbeaten by Roberts, who gave them a speech that you must not do this, that as a court, as a Supreme Court, we are going to destroy America if we weigh in on this? What can account for them not doing that?
I don't know what happened behind the scenes, and I don't think we'll ever know, but it seemed and it appeared to me that the Trump-appointed justices, all three of them, wanted to try so hard to not look political that they ended up being political. Rather than saying we are an independent branch, it doesn't matter what president appointed us, it matters that we do our job, and they should have taken that case because that's the Constitution.
We're gonna be back with Jen Ellis. Folks, we're talking about election integrity and election fraud. Oh yeah, we'll be right back. Folks, we are talking on this program about whether Joe Biden actually was elected president of the United States. I have reason to believe he was not, that he is illegitimate, which is why I call him Vice President Biden, if he's lucky. Jenna Ellis, talk to me. You were on Trump's legal team. I know you well enough to know you don't make stuff up. It's your opinion that the Democrats actually cheated and got away with it. Yes or no?
Yes, and it's an informed opinion based on the facts and based on the evidence. And so for an even longer conversation about this, the very first podcast that I did on Just the Truth that you can find anywhere you stream your podcast is called The Truth About Election Integrity. And I go through an hour-long conversation explaining exactly what happened and why the state legislatures are ultimately responsible for this corruption. Because under the Constitution, as much as they would have loved the cover of the judicial branch and the judicial branch ordering the state legislatures to provide a remedy, the Constitution under Article 2, Section 1.2 says that the state legislatures will determine the manner in which the electoral delegates are selected. When an election is so irredeemably corrupted and compromised, like it was in at least six states in 2020 for the presidential election, it is the responsibility of the state legislatures to convene, to look at the evidence. And when they determine it was irredeemably corrupted, they are responsible to then send the slate of delegates that they believe represents the accurate will of their constituents to the Electoral College. And Hamilton talks about this in Federalist 64 when he says that the state legislatures and the entire method of the Electoral College in America is designed to protect against corruption. Not a lot of people know, Eric, that until 1824, the majority of our states didn't even have direct vote. It was simply the state legislatures that cast the vote for the Electoral College. So this isn't about disenfranchising anyone. This isn't about an unconstitutional mechanism. This is about using our system as it's designed, because the state legislatures are the last guardian to make sure that there is no corruption or foreign influence that ultimately results in what we have today, which is an unelected, installed chief magistrate, our president, that does not reflect the accurate will of the American people and the states. So the state legislature should have done our job. And that's why Rudy Giuliani and I went to four states and we testified in front of them. We said, you have to reconvene as a legislature and you have to determine which slate of electors are sent, because there is sufficient evidence that your executive branch in each of these states in the administration of the election violated the rules. And when they violate the law in your state, then you are required to then send the slate of delegates that is proper. That did not.
And so they didn't do that. And so you went to the Supreme Court.
Well, we didn't. So the state of Texas, as well as 17 other attorneys general, the state of Texas filed a lawsuit against the state of Pennsylvania. And interestingly, in that case, so we were just an amicus, meaning a friend of the court saying, hey, we agree, you need to take this up. But the state of Texas, basically, think about it at like the Olympics. If you have 50 countries that are all participating in the same event, you have rules. If six countries violate those rules, the other countries that are involved can say, hey, we need to have an adjudication of this breach of the rules. And if the judge, if the Olympic Committee says, oh, sorry, you have no standing, even though you're a participant in this same event, then how are you ever going to get not only to justice, but to fairness and for a fair application of the rules? That's what happened. So the other states whose elections were fair and were legitimate in terms of their electoral college, they challenged the states whose
they were disenfranchised by the cheating of these other states.
Exactly. So they went to the Supreme Court. We said, as the Trump campaign and President Trump said, hey, we agree with this. You need to look at the evidence.
So is that not a big deal that you and the Trump campaign would file an amicus brief and the Supreme Court would still refuse to look at this? How do they get that you don't have standing? How do they get there?
And what's even, well, they said that the state of Texas didn't have standing, which is insane because the U.S. Constitution in Article 3 says that when a state sues another state, the Supreme Court has to take that up because it's original jurisdiction. The court can't decline to hear a case like they can in any of these other appeals. The Supreme Court can decline an appeal, but when there's original jurisdiction, they have to hear the case because otherwise, where do you go? And you have to be able to have a remedy and a hearing in front of the court. But even more than our amicus brief, Eric, the state of Pennsylvania, the ones that were actually being sued by the state of Texas, the majority leadership of Pennsylvania, of their own state legislature, filed an amicus brief in that case as well, saying, yes, our election was corrupted. And this is where it got so political, because the Pennsylvania legislature should have, on their own initiative, called themselves back into session and could have dealt with this corrupted election themselves. But they wanted the cover of the Supreme Court to say, we want a written court opinion telling us we have to do this. They could have done it themselves. They admitted to the Supreme Court in their filing that their election was corrupted. And yet they said, we're not going to do this ourselves. We want the covering of the Supreme Court. So when the Supreme Court declined to hear the case, Pennsylvania just said, well, there's nothing we can do about it. That is false. And they did not do their job. And these are majority Republicans in these states. They are majority Republicans that failed to do their job. And if the state legislatures had had a backbone and they understood their constitutional obligation, President Trump would still be in the White House today. It is the failure of the state legislatures.
I think I'm in favor of toilet papering and egging the houses of all the people who did this kind, you know, nothing really violent, but I think a lot of toilet paper across their trees.
I understand your sentiment.
Look, there's madness. The idea that this happened, Jenna, and this is what's so horrifying to me. You know, you're not just some political pundit. You're somebody that understands the Constitution, has taught the Constitution at the law school level.
I was there as an advocate, and I've seen the evidence, and I was there every step of the way knowing exactly what was going on.
Now, you say you've seen the evidence. So you really believe that in all of these states, Trump won and that it was stolen?
Yes. And I know for a fact that there was in the administration of the elections, meaning the election officials, the certification of these elections. Let's just take one example where you have in Michigan, you have the election officials who are saying, we are not going to certify this because over 80 some percent, and I'm forgetting the exact number now, but a vast majority of their votes could not be accurately counted in that county. And yet somehow they're saying, let's go ahead and just certify this for Joe Biden, when they don't actually know the correct outcome in that county.
There is a cloud hanging over this presidency. Folks, mark my words. We're not going to let this go. When an election is stolen, there's nothing more despicable. I don't care. Cancel me. Try to cancel me. This is wrong for every American. We're going to continue the conversation with Jenna Ellis. Don't go away.
Mm-hmm.
Ellis. I'm talking to Jenna Ellis about election fraud. I hope everybody listening to this, if you get the video of this at Rumble, that you will share it with everyone you know. We must not let this go. The Republic is at stake, folks, and you have a voice. What you do and don't do matters. Share this video. Jenna, what do you have to say? We've got a few minutes left.
Yeah, and you know, we need to be precise here. This was election official fraud. And so the left will try to spin this and will say, well, you know, the voters, you're just disenfranchising the voters. This was not about the voters. This was about election officials who were not doing their job. They did not administrate the election according to the rules. There were so many different ways that they violated the rules in these six states and possibly more. And that ultimately affected the outcome of the election. And so what needs to happen now, though, Eric, I know, and I share, and President Trump shares the absolute disgust and outrage over what happened in 2020. But if we as conservatives and as Republicans just say, well, fine, then, you know, I'm just not going to participate in an election again, like some people were calling for, that's ridiculous. No, if we don't even participate with our vote, then we're just handing it to the Democrats. What we have to do moving forward is we have to continue to speak truth. And the left wants to silence us. I mean, every time they mention my name in media, they always say, you know, who made these unfounded allegations? And I'm going, no, why? That's false. That is completely false that you're pushing that. We have to continue to speak truth about what happened. But we have to now go back into these states with election integrity in mind and ask these states and require these states in the legislature to put in reasonable safeguards. One very simple piece of legislation that I'm crafting with a couple other attorneys is for the state legislatures to have to sign off on the certifications of elections before the delegates are sent. If we had had that in place and they hadn't delegated their authority to the secretaries of states, then they would have been required to review it. And we would have had a much more simple constitutional solution to this. And we wouldn't have had to beg them to do their job. So there are some very simple things we can do before 2022, but we have to continue to advocate for election integrity because every legal vote matters. We never allow illegal votes to count in this country, nor should we. We have to preserve and protect free and fair elections, but that means that you and I can't just be outraged. That means that we have to find productive, meaningful solutions, and we have to advocate for those.
Well, one of the things we have to do is we have to keep talking about this.
Yes.
We will not let this go. The idea that Joe Biden, first of all, the idea that he even is pretending to be the president, I don't know who he is or what he's doing or who's really running the country. But no matter who it is, whether it were Biden or his handlers, this was not legitimate. And the very idea of that sickens me, and I will never stop talking about it. Do you think, this final quick question, because I hear different things about this, was it possible for Pence to have done anything on January 6th? Did he just drop the ball? Did he get bad advice? Do you think he could have done something by sending it back to the states?
Great question. And what he couldn't have done is exercise any discretion to say, I'm going to choose a Trump slate of delegates over a Biden slate. We
right.
never give a vice president because then he would have unilaterally selected the next president. That's
right.
bad precedent. That's totally unconstitutional.
Right.
What he could have done and what I advocated for was that he could have said, according to 3 USC, which is the Electoral Count Act, that only allows for counting of certifications when there's been a final adjudication. We still had ongoing court cases. We still had ongoing issues. What he should have done is to pose a question back to the states as soon as he reached Arizona in alphabetical order, said, hold on, there hasn't been a final adjudication. I'm going to ask the state of Arizona, is this certification accurate? Or what do you want me to do? And that precedent is absolutely constitutional because remember, under the Constitution, the state legislatures govern
okay.
what electoral delegates are sent.
10 seconds. Why do you think he didn't do that?
Politics. Sheer politics. And it was very sad. And I think he dropped the ball on it completely.
I wanted to end on a bummer and I've succeeded. My friend Jenna Ellis, we will continue this conversation. God bless you.
God bless you, Eric. Thank you for speaking truth.